The Securities and Exchange Commission has described the collapse of the gigantic Italian food and dairy corporation Parmalat as one of the largest and most brazen corporate frauds in history. The company is in receivership, and several top executives, including the founder, are in prison. Investigators are trying to unravel an intricate system of creative bookkeeping in which $12 billion appears to have vanished. NPR's Silvio Poggioli reports from Parma.
No Italian business story has ever attracted so much international media attention, perhaps because the global ramifications of the Parmalat affair are now being revealed. Last week, police searched the Milan offices of Bank of America, and one of its former employees was added to the growing list of suspects. The scandal involves hundreds of interwoven shell companies, offshore banks in the Caribbean, and prestigious names such as Deutsche Bank, Citigroup, Merrill Lynch, and Morgan Stanley. The South Alaska Carpenters Pension Fund has filed a class action lawsuit against Parmalat and major U.S. financial firms. The city of Parma is renowned for its gastronomic treasures. But from grocery shops to cafes and restaurants, the talk these days is not about the price of prosciutto or Parmesan cheese. Conversations are peppered with references to Standard & Poor's, Price Waterhouse, and Smith Barney. And people speak knowingly of acquisitions and hedge funds. It's a 10-minute taxi drive from Parma to Colicchio, the suburb where Parmalat headquarters is located. Driver Giovanni Mariotti says the scandal has shocked everyone in Parma and injured the city's civic pride.
What a mess. It leaves you dumbfounded. For years, they told us Parmalat was a great and healthy company, but that was just a facade. Behind that, there's a whole other world. We hear American banks are involved in the scandal, but it's still not clear whether they're victims or perpetrators.
Colicchio has a population of 12,000, and it's almost completely dependent on Parmalat. It's here that in 1961, Callisto Tanzi inherited a mom-and-pop ham company and swiftly transformed it into a multinational food group with 36,000 employees worldwide. But the company's small-town roots may have been the cause of its downfall. Parmalat's managers all had close ties to Tanzi, which ensured company loyalty and secrecy, but also a provincial isolation. The management lifestyle was very low-key. Executives have modest two-family homes in Colicchio, and Tanzi himself was not known as ostentatious. No one is more stunned by the Parmalat collapse than its own employees, who gather at the local cafe to exchange company news. Enrico Barbuti is a trade union representative who has worked for Parmalat for nearly 30 years. He says there's no rational explanation for the company's insolvency.
Callisto Tanzi had a very positive image here. We saw this company grow constantly. He did not give the impression of a boss who pocketed all the profits. He kept reinvesting in the company.
In fact, the local Parmalat factory is going strong. 7 days a week, trucks deliver milk from all over Europe to the main plant. Steam billows from large holding tanks where milk is heated to high temperatures before it's packed in long-life cartons. And the scandal has not affected production. December sales were higher than a year earlier. Paolo Bianchi is an accountant who works in the Parmalat financial office. He says Parmalat's expansion in the 90s was anomalous. Turnover grew from about $400 million in 1989 to about $7 billion 10 years later, a growth due mainly to worldwide acquisitions and not production.
There were years when Parmalat bought up to 30 different companies. It was a tumultuous growth. Tanzi bought left and right, without planning, without consolidation, and with poor management.
Bianchi says it was mystifying why a company with so much cash flow was constantly issuing bonds to pay its debts. Between 1995 and 2003, the company turned to the bond market 35 times, and by last September, Parmalat reported debts of roughly $7 billion. The house of milk cartons collapsed when Parmalat was unable to pay a routine bond interest in November. Last month, the company admitted it forged documents claiming a $4.9 billion account at Bank of America. Before its implosion, the family-run food giant had expanded to include more than 100 holding companies. Investigators believe some offshore subsidiaries were empty shells designed to siphon off cash. The probe has revealed tales of amateurish derring-do. One account was called Buconero, which in Italian means black hole. Bank documents were forged thanks to ordinary scanners and fax machines, and Tanzi's hand-picked managers ordered accountants to smash computer hard disks with hammers.
This is absolutely crony capitalism.
Luca Fontana is a writer closely following the Parmalat saga.
With this distinction, this number of local provincial cronies succeeded very well in using to their own purposes world globalized finance.
Angry Parmalat workers and small investors are wondering, where were the auditors? Why were so many banks ever ready to issue bonds for an empty fortress? And why didn't the regulatory bodies, both domestic and international, intervene to prevent such large-scale fraud? Many analysts say the milking of Parmalat was facilitated by certain Italian anomalies, most recently the law passed by the government of Silvio Berlusconi that decriminalized accounting fraud. Another factor that makes corporate transparency elusive is Italy's so-called dynastic capitalism, a centuries-old tradition that goes back to the Renaissance. Families like the Agnellis, Benettons, and Pirellis have enormous influence in Italian politics, society, and sports. Following in this tradition, Callisto Tanzi embraced the role of municipal benefactor. He bought the local soccer team and nourished it into the top league. Tanzi went to church regularly and was so pious that he was known locally as San Callisto. He paid for the restoration of the frescoes here in Parma's Romanesque Cathedral. He gave generously to Catholic charities, and he made available his fleet of corporate jets to cardinals and politicians alike. In a country where politics, business, and the Catholic Church often form a closed network of mutual assistance, investigators may have a hard job ahead. They're trying to discover whether Parmalat simply got in over its head into debt and desperately tried to dig out, or whether its creative bookkeeping was meant to enrich the family in what local wags have dubbed a Tanzi scheme. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, Parma.